Well, I really feel God's presence in this place today.
Amen.
What a blessing. Don't you love it when the Lord shows up? Amen. And of course, a few people, not too bad neither. Amen. But thankful for that. What a blessing. All right, take the Word of God this morning. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to continue a series of messages on the church, becoming a New Testament Christian church. Referring back to the first century church as our model. I think the problem today is we got away from our model church in the Bible and tried to become conformed to the world and the ways of the world and to meet that. And I think that's where many churches failed their people today. Becoming a New Testament church should be the goal of every church. And we need to stay with the Bible, amen, the Word of God. And we recognize that God's Word will not return void. You know, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. Amen? And we're to hear God's Word, and it won't come back void, and it touches hearts of people. The strongest, most helpful thing done in the ministry is to give forth the Word of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept, as we teach and preach His precious Word. So I will do a series of messages on the church in the next few weeks and what it means and what kind of church we are and what you already know, and let God touch us and strengthen us in the days where everybody's wanting us to conform to them.
Amen.
And we don't need to conform to anything but the Bible, amen?
Amen?
And use the Bible as our guide. And I tell everyone, just judge us by the Bible.
Amen.
And that we do, amen? And we'll be a lot better for it. These messages will be online. We're really working, Jeremy's working on our internet services and doing things online, so you can get all our messages online now. And he promised to get them on there quickly, and he's been doing a great job with that. We got a website, and we're praying that God will touch and reach people through that. Amen. And help them. So you pray for me, and I'll try to behave myself. But Jeremy said, "Don't worry, I can edit." I said, "Praise the Lord for that." Amen. So anyhow. You pray about that, and that God will use that to touch many lives. That's all we're about, spreading the gospel. Amen? And that's what God commissioned us to do. And this is our Jerusalem right here as we go forth unto all the world preaching the gospel. All right. Acts chapter 2. What do we have in Acts chapter 2? Well, we have the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in verses 1 through 13. And then Paul's address at Pentecost, verses 14 through 40, and he preached to them, and the Bible tells us in verse 38, Peter basically said this. He said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with this and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation, this crooked Amen. Witness generation. Save yourself, be saved, and born again." And a lot of people want to take that out of context about being baptized, but that's not what that verse means, that baptism saves you. Baptism does not save you. It's basically saying the same thing as, "Well, I'm taking two aspirin for a headache. I didn't take the aspirin to get the headache." You with me? I took it because I already had a headache. Amen? We get baptized because we've already trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. And baptism is a public testimony of His death, burial, and resurrection. And that's just a free one this morning. I got a couple of minutes before I take off. Amen? So we understand that. So that's what he was saying there. And then here's the text in verse 41 of chapter 2. "And they that gladly received His word were baptized." So there's the explanation of that, amen? They received the word, they were saved, then they were baptized. "And the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls." What a revival service. 3,000 saved. Boy, I bet you they had a hooping and hollering service like no other. Now, here we go. What did they do after that? Did they just meet, eat, and retreat? Did they sit, soak, and sour? Did they complain? Come on, they didn't do that? I must have not have been First Baptist Church then. My apologies out there in internet land to any First Baptists. Anyhow, They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking in bread and in prayers. They continued in that fellowship. And look at 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Fear being amazement at what God was doing. Aren't you amazed when God moves and does things? Isn't it a miracle when people get saved and God's moving? And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Come on. No strife. Look at this. They had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need or shared. Look at verse, and they continued daily with one accord. That's the message in itself. Continuing daily in one accord as church families were to be in one accord with the Lord. Amen. In one accord, they met daily in the temple and breaking in bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Look at that. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Who adds to the church? Oh, you mean we don't have to get a book and read how to do that? Oh, yeah, we have to get a book, the King James Bible. But we don't need nothing else? Come on, there's no program out there that I can figure out how to do this thing? Who adds to the church? Which brings me back to my point from last week. Remember I opened the message, it's not our work to build the church? And everybody, though I believe that some men are used to destroy the church, it's our work to be obedient to God. And God adds who should be saved. We should be obedient to His commandments. And by the way, it's not letting you off the hook for soul winning. We're to go into all the world and spread the gospel to every creature. We're to share the word. We're to be obedient. Our work is entirely a work of obedience as a New Testament church. Amen? Faith and obedience. We learned in our Sunday school class in Hebrews. We're learning faith with our young couples. And I said, circle faith, and then there's obedience. Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham, and then he obeyed what the God had him to do. And that's what we have. So last week we talked about the doctrine of the first century church, or the first church here, and how doctrine is important in the local church. And I spent some time about that. And I close with this. Anything you attempt to build that's not built on truth, God's Word is truth, a light unto our feet, then it's not of God. Amen. Amen. No matter how brilliant someone is that can write anything, if it's not built on God's truth, it's not Bible-based and founded, then we need to let it go. Amen. We need to make much of doctrine. A lot of places today don't make much of doctrine. They even come out and tell you, we're not much on doctrine. Well, man, these folks sure were. Amen. The Lord was, and as I explained some other passages of Scriptures, we pass from our lives. We talked about how important it is to pass on to the next generation the lives of those who are following us, following the truth of God's Word. In Bible doctrine, we must keep the sacred trust that has been committed unto us to pass it on. And you can start fresh wherever you are. The day you get saved, you need to be passing on the truth that you received. Sharing is a testimony to others that need to hear God's Word. Amen? So this is what we have, this doctrine. This is where I saw. And who gave us this doctrine? Christ has given us a body of doctrine. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, Christ called His apostles. He trained them. And He gave them their... They didn't make it up. It's not traditions of men. It's not some man-made thing, which, by the way, what separates true Christianity from all other religions is that our doctrine comes from God. It's from the Bible. It's not the Bible and I wrote a book. It's not the Bible and some traditions that we make up whenever we feel necessary to make up a new thing. It's from the Bible. It was given by Christ, by God, to the apostles. They gave it continually and passed it on and passed it on. And faithful men that were able to teach others also, Paul writes to Timothy to find these fellows, that are able to teach others also to pass on that entrusted faith and doctrine that we have. And that's why we're sitting here today, because somebody passed it on, and others accepted it and passed it on, which comes by obedience. One thing to say, I believe, it's another thing to be obedient. Come on. Amen. If we're not obedient to what God's told us, if I wasn't obedient, I got saved and born again and was obedient, and as God revealed things to me in His Word as I went to church, and faith cometh by hearing, amen, in a local bind, and the Word worked on me, and I became more obedient, and we become obedient. I passed on what I learned and passed on, and people get saved and they pass on, and that's how it goes until Christ comes again. We'll work till Jesus comes. Amen. Not will work until the pastor's done. Amen? Yeah, I'm amening you, brother, till about 12 o'clock when you're finished. That's you work until the pastor's done. No, we work till Jesus comes. And to my knowledge, He's not come yet. Aren't you glad? Is that over your head? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't come yet? We'd be in buku trouble. We'd be sitting here if He'd come. Amen? We'd missed out on a big event. And we continue that work until He comes. Christ gave us that doctrine. And if we're obedient to God, God will teach us the truth of His Word. Amen? You want to learn the Bible, be obedient to God. If you're not obedient to the Lord, you're not going to learn things in the Bible because you can't handle them yet. Paul talked about this with the Corinthian people. They were still on milk. He said, you ought to be able to teach by now, but you kind of been slacking here, so you're still all milk. You're still babes in Christ. Why? Because they weren't obedient to doing things they should be doing. When you're obedient, God gives you a little more. When you're obedient, you can understand a little bit more. That's how it works. Amen? If we're obedient to God, God will teach us the truth. So I know what you're thinking, chapter and verse. I'll drown you. This is what the Lord said of His doctrine, John chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine. If any man will do His will, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. It's an amazing thing that we overlook in that verse. If we're obedient to God, God will teach us His Word. There it is. Amen? You got to back it up with Bible. Amen? We have the inspired Scriptures, the writings of God, and the Bible says of itself that it liveth and abideth forever. Every word of it settled in heaven, the psalmist writes. We have the Word of God, and we can know God's Word. The Bible says, if any man will do His will. I ended last week, are you willing to do His will? Some people cannot know what God wants them to know because some point you stop short of obedience to Him. Christians never move backwards. We stop dead. We should always be pressing on. We should always be going forward. How do we do that? By faith. How do we do that? How do we keep by obedience? We be obedient. I don't care what the rest of you do. I'm going to be obedient to what I know to be true to do. And as we're obedient, God will bless that. You go rogue, and you're stopped dead in your tracks. You're not going to know things, and then you're going to fall for things. And that's what happens, sadly, to a lot of Christians today. They get backslidden, and they start falling for the wrong thing because someone said something that appeases to their flesh or their what they want. Amen. Because remember, our bodies, our natural bodies, doesn't want what's good. We're sinners. Saved by grace, amen? This sinful body is dying, right? That's why we're going to get a new body in heaven. And so there's always a battle between the good and the bad, amen? But we have God's Word, and that's we're on the winning side through His Word, amen? And that's how does a young man cleanse his way? By every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God, amen? Thy Word is a lamp unto thy feet, and we need to understand that. And we need to do that. And then we need to pass it on. And as people passed it on, we finally have it today. This is essential. This is what the church does. And it does not change. And we give it on to others. Now, second point in this message, first point for today, understand this, that corrupting influences are always at work. The devil didn't take a break because you got saved. Matter of fact, you kicked him off the roof. You woke him up. The churches get on fire for the Lord. There's always a battle with the devil from the outside. But we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now you just need to know that. You're on the winning side. Don't worry, you're a winner. The devil have you thinking you're a loser. The devil have you thinking that, well, you know, God didn't answer my prayer. It's been a month. Well, Abraham waited till he was 99. Sarah was an old lady before she had her firstborn. That's what I told my class this morning. God told Abraham to leave. By obedience, Abraham left. Abram, before he was Abraham, right? And then God showed up a little later and told him, obey me. Follow me. Okay, I am. Then God showed up before he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. We believe Christ being one of the three is the incarnate. And tells Abraham, you're going to have a son. Abraham says, hey, man, I'm 99 years old. You know, Sarah, she ain't no spring chicken neither. And this can't happen. She's beyond years, the Bible said, right? And so Sarah did like all you women would do. She snickered, not believing. Right? Remember, she laughed. She laughed, right? You listen to what we're ready for this point. The angel didn't go to Sarah and say, hey, Sarah, what are you laughing about? She went to Abraham and said, Abraham, why did your wife laugh? Now, why is that important? You all remember that verse? Why is that important? Because men are the spiritual leaders of the home. Amen. Freebie. You're welcome out there in Never Never Land, Internet Land. You're welcome for that. Because he went to Abraham, why'd your wife laugh? Well, because she's a Jezebel, I don't know, you know. And then she tried to say, no, I didn't laugh. And God says, oh yeah, you did. No, I didn't do that. God knows everything you do. Amen. He knows what you're thinking. She didn't just yell out and start laughing like a crazy woman. She was kind of just snickering to herself, and God knew. Oh, by the way, God knows when you're snickering to yourself, too. And then I love this. God said, hey, is anything impossible with God? By faith. By faith. Anyhow, corrupting influences are always at work. Satan seeks to corrupt the truth this way. By adding to it or presenting only part of it. By adding to it or leaving something out. Oh, he believes the Bible. Devil knows the Bible better than all of us. The devil used God's word against him with Eve. He put a question there. Remember, Eve told him God's word. Hey, God said if we eat of this, we can eat of all trees, but if we eat of this one, we're going to die. And the devil didn't deny it. He said, thus God said? In other words, well, it's not what it meant. Let me give you the new interpretation. Let me give you the new translation. Come on. Ouch, man, I'm going to be in trouble. Did God say that? No, he didn't mean that. He meant that you'll become as gods. And you'll be right up there with him. And what is that? It's idolatry. Don't it all make sense? All right, let me move on. In my understanding of Scripture, we hear about, in the New Testament now, we hear about leaven. You all familiar with leaven? Leaven's like yeast you put in the dough, makes it rise just a little bit, and it gets in there. Well, Matthew chapter 13, as you read through the Bible in the Gospels, when Jesus is giving the parables, when he first started teaching in parables, he talked about the kingdom of heaven, he talked about leaven. Now, every time in my understanding as I studied the Word of God, every time leaven is used, it implies something evil, not something good. And in Matthew 33, Jesus spoke this parable talking about the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. And he talked about, before that, how the wheat and tares grew up together, as you read earlier in that chapter. In other words, how the good is infiltrated with the bad. be like this. Everybody's in here. I don't know who's saved and who's not in here, but somebody could not be saved in here. And so we don't try to pick them out now. God's going to sort it out. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples. And by the way, he preaches on hell there. He says when his angels come to reap, they're going to cast those that don't believe into hell. I'll not get into that, but it's in there. You can look at it. But anyhow, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole loaf was leavened. The woman here was engaged in a deceptive thing. She's hiding something that she shouldn't. Finally, the leaven leavens the whole lump. Everything is affected by it. But that's not a good thing. If leaven is something that is evil, then it should not be in the meal to leaven the whole lump because it makes it all corrupt. You with me? Stick with me. The Lord Jesus warned about leaven. He talked about that. Take notes of these warnings. The devil is always attempting to corrupt. It is not that he denies the truth as much as he adds to it. Now, we're not to add or take away anything from God's Word. Amen. And so when you start adding and taking away, you're already in violation. We have the complete revelation of God. There's no more adding to it. And so some people stand up and they'll say, well, the Lord told me to say this. Well, wait a minute. If he did, then we don't have the revelation of God no more because he told you something different. We have the completed revelation of the Word of God in your Bible. That means this is all you need. And it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So the devil, it's not so much he denies the truth, he adds to it. Now the Lord mentions this leaven in his ministry. And we're on the theme of the church and what kind of church we should be. We should be a doctrine church. We need to understand some things that as a Bible-believing church, the devil's going to attack. And how's he attack? Through doctrine. Through Bible. Now Jesus mentioned three types of leaven in his ministry. In Matthew 16:6, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What is the leaven of the Pharisees? Well, in Luke 12, verse 1, the Bible declares, in the meantime, they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, be ye ware of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So we know the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. Being a hypocrite. Now, who were the Pharisees? Pharisees were religious leaders of their day. Understand this. They were the echelon, the leaders. They were the guys of their day. They were the big church. The religious leaders of their day. Of the Jews, everybody, they had to be right. And Jesus called them a bunch of hypocrites. Think of this now. And so people get mad at me when I tell them the truth that what they believe is wrong based on the Word of God. They get all upset with me, and I'm no good because I don't tolerate them. But yet in the Bible, Jesus told us, the religious of his day, the priests of his day, that what they're teaching is hypocrisy. He warned of their leaven of hypocrisy. They were not what they appear to be. They're wearing masks. These are people who disguise themselves as preachers and priests and what have you, and are places or disguise themselves as churches or places of worship, and they tell people things that are not in God's Word. They do not line up with the Bible. And because people don't know their Bible, they fall for the Pharisees even today. Amen. Take heed. You cannot be moved simply by some emotional type of thing. We have a lot of services in our country today that are just emotion built. Yeah. Built on some kind of exuberance. Usually through music. Watch these things. Watch who you follow. Never follow someone unless the doctrine is right. Amen. Well, how do I know that? Be obedient to the Lord, and you will know His, your bright crown. I give you a gold star. It's a serious matter. Beware of those who are hypocrites. Beware of the leaven of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. These are religious people now. These weren't heathens. These were a big religious organization that the Jews followed. We find that Christ says much about the leaven of the Sadducees also in Matthew 22. The same day came unto him the Sadducees, which said there is no resurrection. The leaven of the Sadducees is simply this. Excuse me, false doctrine. False Bible teaching. We have that today. People don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The whole Muslim faith is built on that. That's why they hate Christians, right? Jehovah's Witnesses, others, they don't believe it. Amen. Listen, Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me, right? What do you do with that? And so the Sadducee is still among us. We don't have the Pharisee and Sadducee, but we do in big world religion, big religions. And we also have false doctrine, false teaching. And then we have those that even come out and say, well, we don't make much of doctrine. They teach things that aren't true. The Pharisees pretend to be people they're not. The Sadducees openly deny the truth. Amen? We have this going on today. We have people who are not what they pretend to be and people teaching things that are false doctrine. And a shame today that people don't read their Bibles. They're not challenged to read their Bibles. They're not challenged to do that. Some religious today don't even give you a Bible to read. You just believe what I tell you. Amen? And they all know. Is ignorance of God's law an excuse? Repent or you likewise perish. Come on. The third type of leaven is found in Mark chapter 8, verse 15. And he says, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Herod, you remember old Herod? He's a nice character, right? The leaven of Herod. This speaks of the Herodian family, the family that was in power at the time. This is the king, right? He's in power. He's the boss. He's the president, whatever. The leaven of Herod is simply worldliness. So we have hypocrisy. We have false doctrine. We have worldliness. Write them down. They're the assault on the New Testament church throughout history. Think about it. And you can draw your conclusions of whatever religion you want. I'm thankful that we continued in the apostles' doctrine, that we passed it on, that we can sit here today and understand God's word and know what's right and what's not. Amen? I mean, I'm not beating up on anybody. I'm just telling you what God says. If I don't, you know, I'm cursed. If I don't tell you the truth, I'm cursed. You say, well, how do you say that? Look, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatians after his greetings in verses 1 through 5. In verses 6, he says, listen, there's no way. He says, I marvel that you so removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ to another gospel. Amen. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now look at this. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Amen. The word accursed means let him be damned. To be damned is let him die and go to hell. If anybody preaches anything other than the doctrine that we've preached unto you. And verse 9, and we said before you, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Well, so the next question is, okay, well, what's the gospel? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn to Corinthians chapter 1, First Corinthians chapter 15. So what is this gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I have preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." He had to get saved too. He wasn't an appointed. He was called and saved. "Which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to Scriptures." And that He was seen again. That He's alive forevermore. What do we have? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's alive, that people seen, that is now sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, who is coming again. That's the gospel that we're to preach. Now, I say unto you, folks, what should the church mess with that? You mess with that at your own pale. You mess with God's gospel and you're accursed. And we can't be mush mouth about it. We have to be truthful and let it fall the way it will. That is, by Christ we're saved. Salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. He's done it all. From beginning to end, you had nothing to do with your salvation except believe. And God helped you with that. He gave you the faith. It's all of God. Amen. And for anybody to say it's God, man, tradition, this, that, or the other thing, or you got to do this. Some religious teach you have to be baptized to be saved. Campbellites. They believe everything, but they add something to it. Is that right? No, it's wrong. This baptism water will not save you. If you've been trusting your salvation and being baptized, you very well could be lost. Amen. Amen. That's just a testimony. Jesus was baptized. You think He needed to be saved? He set an example. He set a picture of His death, burial, and resurrection, same as the Lord's Supper. Some religions teach that you have to have communion, the Lord's Supper, all the time. Come on. Why do we have the supper? We do this in what? Remembrance. Amen. Of what? Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. What is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? The gospel. What are we to preach? The gospel. What happens if we don't preach the gospel? We're cursed. We're damned. We're wrong. And we send millions of people to hell because we won't stand up for the truth that's in God's Word. And of course, we got the Herodians today. Worldliness. Because we've been duped into believing that we cannot do God's work without God's strength in numbers, without conforming to this world. And so we're going to help the Lord out on building His church that, by the way, He adds to by what we think we can do. You see how wrong that is. You say, but preacher, man, they're way bigger than you guys. You know, hey, what does that mean? Jesus called the biggest religion of His day hypocritical. Told them to beware. Told them their doctrine was false. Amen. I didn't say this. God said that. We read this, right? Did we not read this? You see, we got to have vigilance concerning the truth of God. And a good church is a church that's based on the Word of God, Amen. The doctrines of Christ, and the Bible. We have that. And that's the church. That's the first century church model that we have. And that's what we should be today. We don't need a lot of newfangled stuff. I mean, the things that we do, you say, well, you're online. Well, that's just to reach more people with the message. But the message didn't change. The service doesn't change. We emphasize on preaching God's Word. We emphasize on doctrine. Every song was sung today was a doctrinal song. Hymns of the faith. Amen. When you get away of, when you get away from what can wash away my sins, amen, nothing but the blood of Jesus, you get away from the doctrinal songs, you start to water down, and then you get away from reprove, rebuke, and instruct. And you just, you feel good. You could be rich and wealthy if you just do all these things. And you get away from that, there's no conviction of your heart. God does not touch your heart, and you never get right with Him. And you leave like you came. And for many, sadly today, it's lost. And they get upset because we're not inclusive and tolerant of worldliness. I'll tell you why we're not tolerant of worldliness, because Jesus said, watch out for the leaven of Herod, which is worldliness. We're not hypocritical. We don't make things up and make up a bunch of rules in order for you to be saved. I don't tell you to light a bunch of candles or give a bunch of money or do this or that or the other thing to secure your salvation, to be baptized, or you're not saved. My goodness, a thief on a cross was in big trouble. Amen. And if he was in big trouble, Jesus is a liar, because he said, you're going to be in paradise with me. He didn't come off that cross and get baptized, did he? I'm just telling you, that it's not just one thing. People think I pick on one group of false. No, it's false religion, period. That's wrong. If it doesn't match up with the book, read the book. Amen. And you'll know God's will. If you read the book, you'll have knowledge. If you're not backslidden, do what God tells you to do. Amen? Amen. And it's in there. Instead of getting mad at the messenger, killing the messenger, you ought to read the message. Amen. Because I'm not going away. And the message is the same here. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to follow the doctrines of the Bible. And I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. In a matter of your finance, give 10%. If you make 10 bucks, throw a dollar in. God gets the first fruits of that. He blessed you. He give you the mind, the ability to do that. And it's simple. 10 fingers. I make 10, I give 1. God said to be obedient, be faithful to the house of the Lord. Don't forsake this assembly. Where do you assemble? I had a guy told me he assembled out on the boat. He had church out while he was fishing at Rough River Lake. I said, man, that's interesting. I know a preacher had a boat one time called an invitation. Visitation. So everybody said, where's the preacher? He's out on visitation. I don't know. God's work is not done the same way that the world's work is. I mean, the churches today are built like corporations. They model after that instead of modeling after the Bible. And I think it's caused us a lot of problems. And I think the young people are the next generation. So I'm so concerned with the young couples, because they're raising kids. And if we don't teach them the right way, the kids are not going to grow the right way. Some of you kids are raised, you got grandkids, and you got to be a testimony, and you got to be faithful to Christ that they can see that He's real. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a Sadducee. Change him with God. Well, I believe that you don't have to do that. I can have church out in the middle of the ocean. Well, what do you do if Christ died for the church? He didn't die out in the middle of the ocean. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I'm poking fun, but this is how people think today. Because men haven't been true to the Word of God in the area of doctrine. And this is important in the church. God's work is not done the same way that the world's work is done. One of the great things we're going to have to deal with as a believing people is this issue. And by the way, this issue leads to moral standards and moralism in society today. While I'm at it, let me give you this. You know, the cry out today is stronger morals, right? Everybody's no morals today. And I'm in the moral crowd. Can't get enough of it. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right. I want people to do what's morally right. So do you, right? But people don't go to heaven just because they do what's morally right neither. They must be born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. And when they're born again of the Spirit of God, they'll do what's morally right. And we need to give forth the Word of God. I appreciate everybody's living a clean, moral life, but the fixed point of reference for morality is the Word of God.